Why would he be my favorite character? Well, through all the ups and downs and the motion of his life, all the time, he still believes in God. You'll see, as we join him now, in deep despair. And it turns out this is one of the most famous lines in the New Testament, and I didn't realize till this week that it really is a quote from Psalms. And you'll recognize it if I change one word that I had in my other translation. Reading from Psalm 22, verses 1 to 8. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I'm scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." And continuing in verse 22, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help." May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Before we hear the words that the Lord has placed on George's heart, let us pray. Good and loving God, help us to once again take a moment to pause and still ourselves, to know at our very core you are our God, and that you're here in our midst right now. Help us rest in the depths of your love, a love that's so big that it exceeds our deepest hopes, deepest fears and our longings. God, we're so grateful that you know us, that you've called us by name, and that you won't let anything stand between us and your amazing grace. It's this faith that we hold on to, even when we don't see your hand or feel you near us. Lord, come to us now and every day with your resurrection power and your life-changing grace. Form us into the likeness of Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us to declare that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Lord, we realize, we know that this is your promise for us, but our heart still breaks, still reaches out to your world for the violence, for the injustice, for the immeasurable losses that we witness almost every day. We continue to pray for those who are being affected by the refugee crisis in Europe and the Middle East. Lord, even though it's not on the news as often, Lord, that situation is still desperate. We ask that you soften the hearts of any people who are building up walls, and that you make your presence known among those who've left everything to escape death and destruction of their homeland. Open up their eyes, so that they might see Christ in the actions of those who are extending their hands out in welcome, in those who are seeking to shelter, to feed, and to clothe them. God, just help them know that they are loved by you, and that they can place all of their trust in you. We think, too, of all of our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted, even unto death, for their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. May they persevere knowing that you are with them and will be their strength no matter what happens. Ultimately, we pray that your holy and life-giving Spirit might so move every human heart that these barriers which divide us all will, like the walls of Jericho, one day crumble, and that your kingdom will come. And finally, Lord, we pray for anything we're facing in our personal lives. We open and soften our hearts to receive all that you have for us. Many among us, Lord, are carrying heavy and challenging burdens, fears and uncertainties. Whatever they may be, we lift them up to you now from the most secret place of our heart. Loving God, touch us with your divine comfort that heals all wounds, whether they be physical, emotional, or spiritual. Draw us close and bring us into an even more grace-filled relationship with you, knowing that you alone are the one in whom we should put our hope and our trust. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This past Wednesday, in the span of 3 hours, I came face to face with three of my friends from beyond the life of our congregation, different times in those 3 hours, who have some of the most challenging of life situations that I've ever come across, just in 3 hours. And I listened, I wept. You know, each one of them has more than enough reason to despair of any change for the better in what they're facing and what they're going through. In fact, for some of them, the odds of something good happening are stacked against them. And yet, I found this, that for each one of them, there was this measure of hope. There was the presence, and it was there. There was this thankful trust and confidence in God, and there was nothing fake about it. It wasn't cliched. It was real. It was authentic, and I was amazed. In 4 weeks, I'm going to show you a video clip of 10-year-old Miriam, who is an Iraqi girl in a refugee camp in Kurdistan. And everything has been lost for this young girl, 10 years old, of her home, of her friends, of her education, her schooling. And yet I wept for joy when I watched this. I really did, because this 10-year-old radiates a joy, and she's able to articulate a thankful trust and confidence in God, the like of which I've seldom come across. I've seldom experienced. And you're going to see this in 4 weeks. It's an amazing thing. And it seems to me, when I just had this throughout the week before, and especially on that day and since then, that our lives, you can see up on the screen there, that our lives so often are lived between this the what I would call the bookends of thankfulness and tragedy. In Psalm 22 that Diane read for us, it's like that. It's like there's bookends here. There's tragedy and there's thankfulness in this psalm. It's not hard at all. I'm sure you picked up on it as Diane was reading it from verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, you can picture Jesus, because he spoke those words on the cross. And the pictures that were given in the psalm, you know, through to verse 21 are horrifying. They're horrendous in the extreme. I mean, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to experience it. And yet, my friend did. Jesus did, going to and on the cross. And then we have verses 22 through 31, praise and honor and revere and turn to and thank and remember and declare and proclaim the name of God, who has listened to my cry. And you get the bookends. You can feel the contrast between the two sections. And You know, can you really hold all of this together? Well, Jesus did. Jesus really did. My friends on Wednesday morning are holding it together. Little 10-year-old Miriam is as well. And you may rightfully ask, certainly I did, you know, how is it possible to hold it together like that when the jar of your life, if you were to picture your life like a jar, is really empty? There's nothing left. Gratitude is the cornerstone of our faith in God. It's gratitude to God for who God is that holds all of this together. Sometimes I get it dreadfully wrong, and especially at Thanksgiving. Sometimes I'm focused on the good things, the blessing, the plenty that I have in my life, and I thank God for that. But you see, what I'm doing there is my gratitude to God comes out of the plenty that I have. But what if there's no plenty for me? I mean, if my thankfulness to God is built upon the foundation of the blessings of God, what happens if that gets pulled out from beneath me? What happens to that thankfulness that had been on top of that foundation? Really, it should be the reverse. You know, I could give you examples, but, you know, time doesn't permit that, of how that's the case. But here in Psalm 22, it's exactly what David is saying here, because faith in God is far more than simply giving God thanks for what we have. Faith is more than that. It's our gratitude to God in all things, in every season of life. That's the cornerstone of our faith, and that's to be present there even when all the blessings, the apparent blessings, get pulled and taken away. Gratitude to God is the constant. It's the foundation. Gratitude is to undergird our faith in God, and that's what allows us to live life. And the Bible, someone's got a great wisdom and understanding, because I came in this morning, the Bible was opened, and it's turned to Job. And Job really is the one who reveals this to us in Scripture, because if there's ever one who had it all taken away, that would be Job. Like Jesus, Job could have cried out, my God, where are you? Everything has been lost. Everything is gone. Everything taken away. You name it, he didn't have it. He had it in great abundance at one time, and then it was all gone. His family, all of his possessions, everything. And then in Job 27, in Job's last final word to his so-called three friends, he tells these three people how even being... I can't say this without even seeing my own father, because it talks of Job having boils all over his body and my dad and, you know, the stages of leukemia that he had had something similar. But Job says to these so-called three friends, even in the deepest pit of distress and darkness, even when the jar of his life was empty, he could still cry to God for help. Job 27, verse 10. Cry to God for help and find his joy in the Almighty. He had nothing, and yet this empty jar, this empty life, had a fullness of trust and confidence and gratitude. And Job was able, as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to give thanks to God in everything. Now hear that. Not for everything, but in everything, to give thanks to God. Grateful to God people. I'm trying to squeeze those three words together, make them one, but grateful to God, four words. Grateful to God people have a heart that's tuned to thankfulness. And when the storms, when the tragedies of life come, grateful to God people don't have the blessings as the foundation and thankfulness on top of the blessings. It's the reverse. The foundation is this underlying fundamental gratitude that believes and trusts God for all of the outcomes in our lives. Our lives are in God's hands. God is God. I'm not. Thank goodness. You're not. Thank goodness. We're not. Thank goodness. God is God, and He can be trusted. Trusted through it all. In everything, give thanks that God is God. And gratitude, and I know as I look out here this morning, you've got testimonies to this, and I think of 11 o'clock people, and they have testimonies to this as well. My own testimony is of such too, but it's gratitude to God that brings us into the presence of God. Without gratitude as that foundation, without that foundation of confidence and trust that springs out of a thankful spirit and heart to God, we're going to be left in the hard time, and the hard time will come if you're not even in it already. We're going to be left with only anxiety and fear and fruitless ponderings about where is God, the presence of God, even questions. Think of Psalm 100 from last Sunday. Enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving that God is God and that we're not. Brings us into the I don't come into the presence of God with my plans and my proposals and my goals and my commitments and even my questions. Gratitude to God in everything. And that brings the healing presence of God. I want to invite the praise team to come forward. I want to end just with a story of the daughter of Billy Graham. Anne Graham Lotz. And she wrote this in her blog on the 22nd of September, just last month. And she was referencing a category 4 hurricane that went through Galveston, Texas back in 2008. And it leveled everything. In fact, there's a picture taken. And in the picture, everything has been destroyed except there's one yellow house that's been left standing. And then she talks about how in August of this year, the 17th of August, 2015, a hurricane force storm swept through my life when I discovered my husband unresponsive in our swimming pool. He was put on life support, he eventually died. And she says this, if it had not been for that strong foundation of faith, firm on the foundation of faith, that gratitude, thankfulness to God in every season, I would have imploded. But I had a foundation that has been strengthening me through all the years, and that foundation carried me through the subsequent days that included my husband's time on life support, his death, his funeral, his burial. The storm of my husband's unexpected death has not shattered my life. While the grief is deep, the loneliness is real. The emotions ebb and flow like the waves of the sea. I have not collapsed. Like that yellow house, I've remained standing, not only for my own well-being, but also for the well-being of others, for one reason. I know God. I have developed a relationship. You can hear the gratitude coming here. That is built on the foundation of faith in His Word. I know who He was, who He is, and He will be in absolute control, working everything out for my good and for His eternal purposes. He has said so. I believe it. I know that He is the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in Him, though they die, yet shall they live. He said so. I believe. And then hear the last sentence. I am ready for the next storm. There's no living in denial. The storms come. Sometimes tragedies. I'm ready for the next storm when it hits because I'm standing firm on that solid foundation. And that foundation is a thankfulness, a gratitude that God revealed to us in Jesus Christ is the one who has saved, will save, is going to save. Praise is rising. Let's sing.